The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Welcome to Everyone Loves Guitar, where we sit down and talk with interesting professional guitar players, uncover their stories, and discover what makes them tick. If you love guitar, music, and the backstory of people's lives, stick around. You're in the right place. Hi, this is Craig. Just want to let you know you can now advertise here on Everyone Loves Guitar podcast. For more information, go to everyonelovesguitar.com/advertise. That's everyonelovesguitar.com/advertise. Hey, everybody. This is Craig Garber from Everyone Loves Guitar, and I'm here with Pierre Jonel. He runs a really cool podcast out of France called The Guitar Channel, and I've had a couple of chances to talk with Pierre. He's super enthusiastic about music, and I just wanted to take this opportunity to introduce you to Pierre and his show, and I think it's something that's worth checking out when you have a chance. Okay, so today we're just going to basically ask each other a few questions to get to know each other and to introduce one another to our audience. And I will start with the first question and then, you know, we'll have our normal chit chat. So Pierre, what is the basic premise of your show and what prompted you to start it? And also what were you doing professionally before or even now, before you started the show and now?
Okay, so I'll try to do a short answer to that because the Guitar Channel and La Chaîne Guitar in French is such a big adventure for me that I usually tend to ramble on and on and on about that project, which is actually using 110% of my time at the moment. So I will start the short story by beginning to say that I am neither a journalist or a professional musician by training. I am an IT engineer, in fact, and I worked like for 20 or 25 years in the wonderful world of corporate, you know, and I worked also 10 years in Canada for L'Oréal Canada for the beauty product, you know, that maybe that's why I still have some very long hair. I don't know.
Man, you have great hair. Awesome hair. Totally, man.
And I started to play the guitar when I was like 13 or 14, something like that. I am 52 at the moment. And I never stopped to play the guitar. And I discovered the podcast when I first bought my first iPod, like in, I think it was Christmas 2004. Eventually, right after that, I discovered podcasting, that it was possible to listen to people to talking, you know, about incredible subject and sometimes very targeted subject, like, I don't know, running, photography or music. And I started a podcast about our immigration in Canada because we immigrated to Montreal in Canada for 10 years. And I always say to myself, well, it would be cool to have a guitar podcast because podcast is such a niche media which allows you to talk to only a small amount of people, but very dedicated to what you are talking to, what your subject is. And eventually, I did that when we went back to France in 2009. And I started the Guitar Channel as a podcast. And at the time, it was only something I was doing as a hobby, like every night and during the weekend. But eventually, more and more people were listening to it. So I made the switch. I quit my daytime job at the time, like in 2012. And I started the company in 2013. And I've been doing this full time for the past 5 years. And the idea of the Guitar Channel and La Chaîne Guitar in French is to be, let's say, some kind of a Netflix for guitar player, where you actually buy a subscription to access all the content I produce. And the content I produce is usually interviews with all kind of musician, most of the time guitar player or bass player, from classical to heavy metal, blues, rock, you name it, big guys, unknown guys. As long as they are into guitar, I'm going to be interested in doing interviews with them. And I also do interviews with luthiers, with amp, pedal builders. I try to go wherever there is something going on regarding the guitar. So that's why I go to the Winternam every year, to the big guitar show we have in Europe, like the Music Messe or the Holy Grail guitar show. And we also have a couple of guitar shows in France. And so people, when they buy the subscription, they access to all this content. And there is also the community aspect, which is very important, where when they are subscribed, they access a private forum with a super high quality exchange, because it is a private forum. It's not like very too often in the open forum, where people sometimes spend more time, you know, insulting each other or doing, okay, or you are playing that or you shouldn't, or this brand is crap, and so on and so forth. So that's about it. And to summarize this, the motto of the Guitar Channel is Passion Amplifier. And passion is definitely what drives me doing what I do now.
Passion and what?
Passion Amplifier.
Passion Amplifier. Okay, cool. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Like amplifier on guitar.
Good. Exactly. Gotcha. Yeah.
Is the forum, is that on Facebook, private Facebook group?
Yeah. Initially, it was on what Google Plus called a community, but eventually I opened it on Facebook. And now I think the private group on Facebook is where most exchanges are going on. So yeah, it's on Facebook. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. So you're, well, that was great. You didn't ramble on at all, man. That was good.
Tell me your story. What? Why did you start the guitar podcast? In fact, that was my first question I wanted to ask you.
It's very, this is weird. I never did something like this. So for the last 20 years, I've run a marketing company. I write ad copy and I build sales funnels, and I've worked in 108 different industries for over 300 clients. So I've pretty much sold everything from generic Viagra to ebooks to $5,000 seminar seats. I mean, you know, and I really love that. I like selling. But I had some, in like 2009, I had a bunch of personal bullshit, you know, just life bad stuff. And I wanted to take something away from that. So when the dust settled on all these things that happened, I started thinking about what can I take away from that. And one of the things I realized, because I'm a couple of years older, I'm 54, and I'll be 55 next month, which sounds really fucking old. I've never like been bothered with birthdays, but 55 just sounds ancient. Anyway, I started thinking about that. And the big thing I took away from this is I got to be happy. And it's really important to be happy. Happiness became a high priority for me. That's why I end every episode. I say happiness is a choice, so choose wisely, because I feel that strongly. Anyway, so I started thinking about what I want to do, and the wheels started turning. And about a year ago, I used to run in my marketing business, I had a monthly newsletter. It was a subscription-based newsletter. I had subscribers in, you know, 30 countries, and, you know, paid for marketing newsletter. And one of the things I did in there was interview either clients of mine or other buddies of mine that ran marketing businesses. And so I said, man, I need to start a podcast. I need to do interviews of guitar players, because I've only been playing guitar 3 years. Mm-hmm. I played saxophone as a kid. I played at Carnegie Hall, and I've always been musically talented, but I never really picked up the guitar till 3 years ago. And so something just came to me and said, you got to go interview guitar players. And I don't know why. I mean, it was just like, honestly, I don't even think like that normally, but I think because I was trying to be focused on doing stuff that made me happy. I mean, I love playing guitar. It gives me as you know, it's a very wonderful feeling. It's just very liberating, and you're right there in the moment. You know, when you're playing guitar, you can't worry about next week or 3 weeks ago or so, you're right there. And I find that very liberating. And so I felt strongly about the instrument, and I just said, let me start a podcast on guitar players. And so it's built up now. You know, we dropped 310 episodes our first year.
Yeah, congratulations.
That's quite
something, because doing a podcast, the most difficult part is not to start, it's to keep it going over and over week after week.
Yeah, it is. But I've always been like that. I'm very disciplined. I've built content-based businesses in the past. So now we're actually in conversations with bringing on advertisers. And, you know, I have other plans for the business, but, you know, it's been a long year and I have other things I still do, marketing and, you know, with myself, clients, and my wife's business. She's a real estate agent. So it's been a busy, hectic year, but it hasn't felt like a grind. You know, it's working hard, but I never felt like it's a grind because I'm doing things I like, you know, and I'm talking to really nice people. And so that's really the background to it. And just for your audience, what we do is we talk with professional guitar players, and we find out what their backstory is. In other words, what makes them tick. My show is very biographical in nature. It's not like a Guitar Gear show. Like, you're much more advanced and wise about guitar playing and looking at gear. This show is more personalized on their life. Like, how did they get to become who they are? What are the good things that happened to them? The not so good things? How did they overcome obstacles? People often talk about things like getting sober, difficult childhoods they had or really good childhoods they had. And, you know, maybe mom and dad had some problems or, you know, life, they talk about their life, you know, and I always find it interesting because when I hear other people's stories, it's really inspirational for me to keep positive and, you know, keep moving forward. So that's, it's been fun.
I love the format you are using on your podcast. And I think I discovered it like a couple of weeks ago. And there is this kind of resurgence of podcast at the moment. In fact, it used to be when I started the podcasting in 2005, we thought we were going to rule the world, you know, that the old media were to disappear and so on. Well, it did not happen. And I kind of like it to see that there are more and more podcasts and more guitar podcasts. And what I love about your format, and that's really the power of the podcast, is that you can talk to for 40 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, something like that. And you don't really care about the format. As long as it is interesting, you publish it, and it's on the other side of the headphone. I mean, people listen to it or don't listen to it. And what I love about the format is that you actually are very good at having people to tell their story. And yes, you are a guitar player, but maybe not with the kind of background I can have, because I've been playing like for 30 or 40 years, sure. Something like that. But you bring a different angle, and I love this. And that's also what I try to do on my interview, is that, yes, I talk about gear, but as all guitar player, I know I am 100% super obsessed about gear. But I also know that this is not what really matters. And a great musician is going to be great whether he's playing on a $200 a guitar or $2 million a guitar. So, and that's why I think it's way more important to understand what was the foundation of a musician, what was his experience, the people he met, and so on, to really have to achieve what he was able to achieve during his career. So that's why I enjoy so much your interviews, even though they are super long. That's, again, the power of the podcasting, that you can listen to them and in bits and pieces. And I just told you before we started the recording that I did listen to the one you did with Joe Gore, which is like 2 hours long, but great from start to finish. I mean, I couldn't wait to get back to the interview to listen to the rest. Huh?
Well, thanks, man. I really appreciate all the nice things you said. Thank you very much. It's interesting because when I first started this show, you know, I was like a marketing guru for a long time, and I realized that what people say is only their opinion. You know, you read something online and it's not dogma. It's someone's opinion, and there's a million ways to skin a cat, you know. Mm-hmm. And everybody, well, don't do long shows, 17 minutes or 30 minutes. And I knew that was bullshit because I wrote ad copy and I wrote sales letters that were sometimes 20 pages long. Mm-hmm. And people would send in money. And the whole thing is, I know that it's not the length of something. It's exactly what you said. If it's interesting, You know, people pay attention if they're interested. I mean, if you're if you're trying to get a date and you go to match.com or somewhere and you see an attractive woman and she's got 40 pages, you're going to read every single thing because you're interested. So it really comes down to interest. And I just said, okay, great. The people that are interested will listen. The people that are not interested won't. And that's totally cool. That's, I'm not trying to convince people to listen. I'm just trying to put, find more people to listen that are already interested in this kind of stuff, you know? So I was never, I shouldn't say I was never worried about the, how long it was. I was always hoping I would make it interesting enough that no matter how long it was, but I don't talk a lot. I try to let them talk. So it kind of keeps interesting, but thanks very much. It was really nice to say that stuff.
So at the moment, you are not making money at all with Everyone Loves Guitar, right?
No.
But that's eventually the idea, or that's something you want to keep going?
No, we're in talk right now with three or four different advertisers. And you know, because I'm a marketer, I'm reaching out to people now very actively. And I probably waited longer than I had to, but I really just wanted to keep building the content, you know, and focusing on growing this audience. And you know, the one thing that makes us attractive, it's interesting. You don't know what makes you attractive until you start talking to advertisers. My audience is 90% Generation X and baby boomers, so over 35. Most podcasts, and I would imagine yours is too, but most podcasts is geared towards millennials. Well, nothing against millennials, but they're not the ones spending money. So advertisers, you know, are like very open to talking with me because of the audience selection and because it's so niched as well, as you know.
And did you, so you did some surveys to have this kind of information regarding your audience?
I use Google Analytics. So you, I look at the people that are coming to the website, that are visiting us on our site and are visiting us on Facebook. And so is it exactly a match? I got to believe it is. The people that, are, you know,
it has to be,
you know, are those, I can't believe that everybody this age is coming to the site and then totally different as subscribing. That would make no sense because they get to, they first find out they come there through the site. So yeah, I think it's a very fair representation of who's listening.
Yeah, true. Do you listen to other podcasts, guitar podcasts or not?
You know what? I used to, but since I've done this, I don't have any time to do anything. Honestly, man, I used to listen to a lot of shows, but I don't even have time. I barely have time to play guitar. I'm just between this, my marketing stuff. I mean, honestly, I'm lucky I have time to go to the bathroom. I'm just being honest with you, man. It's, you know, I'm just maxed out. You know, I'm just happy to get to bed at night at a reasonable time and you know, get 7 hours of sleep if I'm lucky. And then I go to the gym, you know, so I try to stay busy and fit mentally and physically. And, you know, how about you? Do you listen to a lot
of it's kind of the same. I am looking at my phone at the moment and I am subscribed to maybe, I don't know how many, 20 or 30 podcasts. Not all of them are guitar related, but I do enjoy. There are some podcasts, you know, as soon as they appear on my iPhone, I listen to them. And one I particularly love is Guitar Wank with Bruce Foreman, Scott Anderson, and Troy McCabin. This one is really excellent. I listen to yours, of course. And let me see. There is one by Taylor Guitars, which is called From the Factory. So this is kind of a special podcast because it is done by a big brand. But it is really well done and very interesting. And there is also one from Jeffrey D. Brown, Guitar Business Radio, which is really good. And it's interesting because he talks about music, but his angle is really to understand the business side of things. So he interviewed people, you know, musicians, but also people, luthier and people from the newspaper business and so on. So that would be the main guitar podcast I am listening to. I also some other French speaking stuff, you know, regarding tech and things like that. I love podcasts. Podcast is really a super powerful media, and I listen to it usually when I am working or doing something which does not require a lot of CPU time, you know, and also when I am running, and that's about it. But you have a very limited amount of time, you know, available time to listen to. So you have to choose. Right now, the wealth of podcasts you can listen to is really incredible. And at the beginning, I told you that we thought that the podcasts were going to rule the world. And very quickly, you know, the NPR, the BBC, or the big radio, or the big TV took over. And people thought that, podcast is just to listen to my favorite show on NPR or BBC or whatever. And they completely forget, or they never get to discover, that there were actual independent people like you and me that were producing some super high quality and super interesting stuff. And that's why I'm very happy to see that we get to hear more guitar podcasts, for example, not coming from big brand, but coming from passionate people, which each bring, you know, a special angle to the podcast, guitar podcast world. So that's good. I love podcasts.
Well, yeah. And again, I know this from doing marketing. People will come to a show or anything in life. People are interested because of the topic, but they stay with something because of the personality that's producing it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that in any way to like sound my personality, but in general, people have to like you, you know, and there's something about whatever you're doing that they like, which keeps them there. So you really have to be able to show some character and some personality. And I think that's why these big corporate things are never as popular because they don't, it's a big machine for the most part, and they're not as willing to show the personality, and, you know, there's too much structure and rules.
Yeah,
definitely.
For them, the podcast is just a catch-up media, you know. It's not, they usually, most of the time, never produce original content for the podcast format.
Right.
And whereas what you do, what I do on the podcast world is something that is not available on commercial radio or TV or whatever. So that creates a completely different sphere. And there is something very intimate, I think, in the audio podcast, because people are actually having you inside there between their two ears, you know. And so I hear your voice. Now that I listen to a couple of your show, I am very familiar to your voice. So even though we never met except through Skype, it creates something very, very tight, a very tight connection between the interviewers and the guests and the listener. So that's something you can never have with the video, with YouTube, because, to tell you the truth, it would be probably be very painful to see, to watch a 2 hours interview on my computer. I would go crazy.
Oh,
but I can do this by walking around and listening, having your voice and me having my imagination work, trying to concentrate on the answers you get from your guests and so on. But that's something very super powerful that I love to explore. Yeah.
It's a really good connection. It's very intimate because it's a one-on-one.
Yeah.
That's very intimate. You know, it's not like you're watching television where, like you said, you got a lot of other things going on. Maybe it's you in those headphones, man, or you in a car. And it's very intimate. So it's a great communication, and it's a great advertising medium for that same reason, actually.
How long do you usually take to prepare an interview? I was curious to ask you this question.
It depends. If I have to listen to music, that's a little longer. You know, if someone's promoting a record, I listen to the whole record, and then I'll pick two or three songs and talk about it. I had an episode recently where, listen, I know how hard it is to make music and to make a record, and I really respect people that do that. And I could always find a couple of songs to talk about, even if it's not a style of music I listen to. But I had an experience recently. It was funny. It was awful. And I saw it was horrible.
The music was awful.
It was horrible. And it was it was plagiarized. There was like a couple of songs in there that sounded like one song sounded like The Thrill Is Gone from B.B. King. Another song sounded like an old Peter Green song. And it was like note for note. And I couldn't believe. Anyway, so I called up. This came through a PR person. I called that person up and I said, I cannot interview this person.
And it is an established musician, not nobody.
I was shocked that it was an established musician. And the PR person didn't even ask me why. He goes, okay, let me know if you want to reschedule. And I would have been happy to tell him. But I won't put out, I'm not going to endorse something to my listeners that's, oh, this is great. It was shit. Come on, man. I was like 15 songs there. That's ridiculous. I couldn't find one. Anyway, so I'm getting off the subject. It takes me usually, if there's no record, 30 minutes on the low end, you know, I try to be really efficient with that because that's like the least favorite part of what I do, to be honest with you, because it's very, you know, you got to sit in front of the computer, you know, it's very boring to do that. It's not as fun as the interview, but I know that that creates what I'm doing, so I have to pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. But if you have to listen to music, it's longer. How about you?
It's about the same, and when there is a new record out, I always listen to it a couple of times, and it happened to me that more and more I am receiving some CDs, or even musicians themselves are sending me some link to listen to, and it happens sometimes that, yeah, maybe the guy may be famous or very well known and so on, but the music is not touching me, so no, I don't do the interview. And right from the beginning, I started the Guitar Channel as a podcast in 2009, and I thought at the beginning it was going to be a challenge to do an interview once a month, but very quickly I did once a week, and I never stopped. And now I am at the moment that where I am publishing like 4 or 5 interviews per week, so it's about 20 per month. So it has never been a problem to produce content. So that's why I can allow myself to choose and say, okay, sorry, but I have nothing to say about that, or this is not for me. And there is always a nice way to put it. So, but when I dig a CD, I mean, I always, you see, I have here a couple of CD I just received, and some of them are really good. Some of them are going to be eventually an interview. Some of them I'm just going to talk about, do a quick review, and some of them I won't talk at all. So, but I love to take time to really dig into the music, because it makes for more interesting interviews. When there is not a specific album, if it is someone I already know very well, I have this kind of Canva, you know, for my interview, where what was your very first guitar, what were your main training and main influences, what was your training, and so on. So, and after that, it's really up to the interviewee. Yeah. If I have some super long detailed answer on which I can work on to move on to another subject, then I do it. And sometimes you have a very short interviews or very short answer, sorry, with no meat, you know, inside. And you see your list of questions going like that. And after 5 minutes, you are supposed to spend 20 minutes with the artist, but after 5 minutes, you're done. So, okay, you don't want to work with me. Okay, no big deal. Okay, we'll do it another time. Or it will be a 5 minutes interview instead of a 20 minutes interview. So, and well, you know what it is, because you produce like more than 300 interviews, but sometimes you have this very nice exchange, not really exchange, because we are not here to talk about ourselves, right? So we are here to have the people to tell their story, but you are able to establish a nice trust relationship with your guest. And then he relaxes a little bit more. And after he sells you, you know, the marketing stuff he has to sell you, because he has a new record or a new guitar to sell or so on, then we can get to the more interesting stuff. And when you are able to establish this kind of relation, that's usually the best interviews, because then, you know, the guard of the boxer you have in the, you know, but it's kind of a boxing match. And if you can't do it alone, and you have to have someone else, someone in front to really give you something to work on.
Yeah. A lot of times it does go like that. I don't like when it's the one answer, you know, when you're talking to someone like they're in a, do you know, a deposition, like when they're in court, and they give you like, you know, yes, you know, but usually that doesn't happen, thank goodness. But let me ask you this. What are some benefits that have come out of this for you that you weren't expecting? I don't mean financial benefits. I mean, you know,
Well, financial benefits are definitely not there yet. It's coming, but it's not. I mean, I was making way more money when I was doing my corporate job than what I am doing right now with the Guitar Channel. But as you just say at the beginning, I mean, I made this choice to have the happiness was ranking way more higher than the amount of money I was making every year. But for me, it's very easy to answer that because guitar has been my passion since I was 13. So I often say that I am the first spectator, you know, of the Guitar Channel, and I always ask the question. I want to know the answer, because there is always this eagerness to know more. And something I discovered when I started the Guitar Channel is that the main music I listen to usually is blues or rock bass. You know, I never listened to a lot of jazz or classical music. But because through the Guitar Channel, I want to address all genres of music. I mean, it has been a blast. For example, I remember very well the first time I did an interview with a classical virtuoso. It was like incredible to see this kind of musicianship sitting right next to me and doing a video. Or, you know, so one of the benefits would be, and it still is, to have been able to discover a very wide range of music rather than my, you know, good old Rolling Stones and ZZ Top and Van Halen yeah. kind of music, the classic rock. You know, I am an old guy like you, 50 years old, so and it's always interesting to discover more music style. And that's why the guitar is such an incredible instrument, because it can be applied to so many genres. That is quite amazing, and it's always a blast to discover different facets like that. What about you?
One of them is the same for me. I've gotten turned on to a lot more music than I ever would have expected, which is really cool, especially like jazz, because I never really liked jazz, but there's middle ground jazz that I could listen to now. The other things are, there's three like things that I really wasn't expecting. One of them is this sort of validation of my initial do things what you're happy. You know, musicians, that's the only thing they become a musician for. Mm-hmm. And so every day when I speak to these guys, it sort of validates and keeps my resolve strong to continue doing things that make me happy. How important that is as to be, you know, to be happy, man. I mean, what the hell? That's, you only have one trip on earth, you know, mm-hmm. if be happy, why not? The second thing is, I always had issues with being vulnerable. Like, I was very reluctant to open up, except maybe to like my wife and family. And most musicians are very open with that, because that's what they do. They're making music. They're being vulnerable. They're sharing a piece of their heart. And so they're all very open with me. And it's sort of like giving me permission to be more open and be much more vulnerable. And I find myself doing that. The other thing is, I am really enjoying making all these connections, and that is more, that's becoming increasingly important to me. And not being, you know, I always, one of these guys had a bit of a wall up, and I'm not like that anymore. It's really helped me be much more open to people in general, and less judgmental, and just, I guess, more at ease with myself in many ways. Mm-hmm. So therefore I'm much more open to others. And some of that is age, because, you know, it's like, man, you just don't give a shit when you're older. You're like, you don't worry what people, I've never worried what people think of me, but you just don't worry about anything, man. Like, I, you know, the number one thing in my life is make decisions that have the least, you know, if I have three decisions, I always make the one now that which one is going to cause me the least amount of stress, because that's what the best decision is for me at this stage in my life. So it's just all fit in with just making me like a better person and making me more open and just wanting to put good vibes out there and getting good vibes back has become a higher priority for me. And I think it's probably made me more relaxed as a dad, as a husband, you know, as well. So I never would have expected any of those things. So it's been a very nice, very good journey.
Yeah. It's kind of the same for me, and I am what I would describe a shy person. It's not super easy for me to meet new people and to engage with them.
Interesting.
But because I when I meet new people regarding about around the Lachin Guitar, the guitar channel, I have this initial connection that we are going to talk about guitar. So okay, that can't be that bad anyway, anyhow, because we have this piece of this little thing called the guitar in common. So it's kind of a strategy for me to get to know people. And someone told me a while ago that usually people doing radio are usually shy people because they hide, you know, behind their microphone, they talk a lot. And it's exactly like that for me in the podcasting world. And it could be not very difficult, but I'm not going to open up very easily to anyone. And still, when I do a podcast, when I do an interviews, I can, especially if you start to ask questions about the guitar, about the guitar channel, about my project, about music, when I do an interviews, I can, you know, the passion level is rising and rising at the point where questions are flowing like that. And it's, you know, you are in the moment and you really are digging very deep. That's what I love when I do an interview with a musician or a luthier or anybody involved in the guitar world, as you, for example, is that to have them to tell them the story. And when I am able to do that, I say yes, I did it, and I am. And that's why I chose, you know, Passion Amplifier as a motto for the Guitar Channel, because that's the whole idea. And whenever one of my subscribers tell me, well, you know what, since I've been a subscriber to your show, I play more guitar.
Yeah.
All right. My Great. Mission on earth is done. I'm happy. Yeah. If I can have a couple of more people to play more music, to play more instrument, I'm all good with that. And that will be bringing hopefully more happiness to them and so on. So, it's such a powerful project for me because it comes from my heart. And as you said earlier, when you make your choice regarding this kind of line, then you can go wrong, even though it's probably the most difficult path. And that's definitely a difficult path because, I was making a lot of money when I was doing my IT job before. And for sure, I do regret this financial stability, but that I never regret one second making that choice 5 years ago. That's for sure.
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting. If you think about it, IT and music has a lot in common because it's a very isolated, you know, coding or just working on stuff like that. It's an isolated, solitary.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And most musicians are also shy.
Mm.
And when they get on stage, it's like they open up, but they're because they're very isolated doing their thing. So it's funny that you say that. Yeah. It makes total sense.
Yeah. And that's something I experienced a couple of times is that when I have a guest in front of me, usually their job is not to answer interview. Their job is to play music. And as soon as they understand that I am not the enemy and I know what I'm talking about and we are talking about music, then they actually open up and the flow starts and we are on the roll. That's the difficult part to find the angle or the specific question that, there is a light now going on in his eyes or her eyes, and it's going to be more interesting than the first few answers.
Yeah. What do you like best about it? And what's the biggest hassle with putting the show together?
What I like the best is really definitely to be able to meet people, to see them play live or backstage, or to visit the luthier workshop, or go to the big show like the Winternam, the Holy Grail. And in 2 weeks, 10 days from now, I am organizing a guitar show in Puteaux, right next to Paris. So it's a huge amount of work, but I can't wait to be here because I'm actually part of the organization. So that's super exciting. What would be the bad part of this? Well, the bad part is that I'm still in the process of really establishing the business, you know, tuning of the whole machine to make it work, and the subscription. I have more and more subscribers, but it's not to the point where I can actually get a salary out of this. So it's still a constant struggle to say, okay, what should I do? What would be an interesting product to sell? You keep And it's a good thing to challenge yourself all the time, but it's also quite tiring, because I'm, sometimes I am completely exhausted because I keep asking over and over the same question. Well, how am I going to make a decent living out of this? So yes, people are more happy because they listen to the show, they play more guitar, I expose more musicians to more people. That's all good. But at the end of the day, I am a business owner, even though I am the business of owner of a company with just one guy, which is me. But I have to balance the expense I do with the income and everything. So and there is a never ending supply of energy to do it. But sometimes it's quite difficult, and sometimes it's good just to pick the guitar and go back to the basic. Why did I start? That's why. That's because of this six string something that is right there.
Yeah. I hear you.
What about you?
The thing I like best is the connecting with new people on a regular basis. The thing I dislike the most is the admin, is putting the, like I said, putting the questions together and like doing the admin, the editing. I have an assistant that I hired, and he has made my life a lot more productive. You know, he handles posting, a lot of the back end on the internet stuff, and that has really made my life a lot easier. But I hate having to put the interviews together for the most part, and I hate having to like summarize them in notes. My notes are pretty, like I have two paragraphs of notes, but even doing that, it's like pulling teeth. I don't know why, because I'm a writer. I've written, I made my living for 20 years writing. So I don't know why, but it's just like, I feel like it's not important, to be honest with you, because I read something, only 38% of people pay attention to notes. And now I know those people who pay attention, they're probably obsessive about it, but I really try to do things for the majority. And I'm actually thinking of eliminating notes altogether, because I would be, again, just to make my life less stressful, you know, just to not have notes. And I'm wondering, would it impact the show? Because do people really read notes? I mean, outside of, you know, Pierre Jornel interview, you know, are you going to read a couple of sentences? Yeah. Do you want to know every detail what we talked about? No, I don't really think so. So I may be, to be quite frank, the only reason I wouldn't is for search engine optimization purposes.
Yeah. I think that's the main reason you know, would do it. Yeah.
But I can just have a paragraph there and copy it from my intro. And, you know, Pierre played with this person, and then that's it. I don't have to talk about the stories that we talk. So I think I'm going to move to that, because as I'm talking out loud, it just sounds like if I did that, I'd be so much more relaxed. And every time I do a decision like that, it always works out. So I'm probably going to move towards getting rid of it, because I hate doing it and I don't want to do it. You know, not that, listen, we're running a business. You can't, it's not all about, if you don't like it, you can't do it. But I don't think that's driving value. I measure stuff by what's the value I'm getting out of that. And I just don't think I'm getting any. So I'm probably going to bail on it. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's just better to have an introduction that tease people to go further, either watch a video, listen to the podcast, and the rest. I mean, usually you don't have to write a long article, because people are never going to read it through the internet. And as you said, the best, this we do it for Google, you know, for the indexation, the index, and the search engine.
Search engine optimization. Yeah, like on YouTube, my videos. But, you know, I think I'm just going to, anyway, I'm going to probably cut that out now that I'm talking to you. It feels so good just saying it, so I'm going to do it. I have to.
Okay. As a conclusion, I have this last question. What would be for you the ultimate guest you would like to have on the show?
You know, I used to think that. I don't have that anymore, because I have had people that I never heard of that have been such wonderful guests. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. That being said, musically, David Gilmour would be my ultimate guest, because he has meant, his music has driven, I have listened to him more than any other musician, and he has made me feel better. You know, the transfer of energy from Gilmour to me has been huge for the last 50 years. So he'd be the guy that I'd like to talk with. Mick Taylor, I'd like to talk with. Jeff Beck, I'd like to talk with. The problem is, none of those guys would have any incentive to come on the show. They just don't need the publicity.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
don't need me, you know, like I think we're probably the largest show in the space here in the States anyway. And they still don't, David Gilmour doesn't need me to promote his record ever, you know, Jeff Beck, you know, Mick Taylor's not making music. So, but it would have to be Gilmour. That's a good question, man. What about you? Who's your ultimate guest?
Well, I would say about the same, you know, I would love to interview, you know, Jeff Beck, Jimmy Page, Edward Van Allen, Eric Clapton, people like that. But, and it would be more like, I have, there is no guarantee that it's going to be a great interview because, as you just said, they don't need me anymore. Their career is behind them. They are so popular. They don't need the Guitar Channel or your show or whatever. So
yeah, absolutely
this
not.
Is not the, definitely not the angle. And I had the same experience. Sometimes I do an interview with someone I just met 2 weeks ago because I received the CD. I dig the music and I invite him to the showroom in Paris. We do the interview. And after that, I was so happy that we were able to do it. And so sometimes it's not the super famous guy that is going to be the best. But for sure, before those are gone, I would love to do an interview with them. But the easy answer would be, okay, the next one, the next guest is going to be the ultimate one because that's where I am going to pour some energy to make something out of this. Yes.
And I've learned I never have expectations of guests. You know, even if I'm very familiar with the guests because I love their music and I've listened to them, I never have expectations because I learned that from raising kids, not to have expectations. And I find just let things go and it's very, most of the time it turns out really well, you know, so I'm just letting, you know, just letting things happen organically. It seems to work well. So.
Mm. All right. Well, Craig, it was great to have you on the show. I'm super happy we were able to connect. And for sure, I hope we will have some other opportunities in the future to meet and to discuss some more. So thank you very much for your time. And I wish you all the luck I can to record 300 more interviews on Everyone Loves Guitar, because everyone should love guitar.
Everyone
right?
should love guitar. That's right. Pierre, thank you very much for talking. I'm really glad we got to connect. I wish you the nothing but the best. And man, I'm going to be in Europe in Paris one day and we will connect. As always, everybody, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this interview, please share it with a friend on your social media channels. We appreciate your support and help with this. And of course, check out Pierre's podcast. It's theguitarchannel.biz. And thanks so much to Pierre Jonel for spending time with us. I really appreciate it. Make sure you go to the homepage of everyonelovesguitar.com. Sign up to get on our newsletter list. You'll get advanced notice of guests coming on the show and the opportunity to ask them questions. And most important, remember that happiness is a choice, so choose wisely. Be nice, go play your guitar, and have fun. Till next time, peace and love. I'm out, y'all. We hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, subscribe to the Everyone Loves Guitar podcast, and you can do this online at everyonelovesguitar.com or on iTunes. And if you like the show, please leave us a 5-star positive review. The more 5-star reviews we get, the higher our show ranks, and higher rankings mean we get to continue speaking with cool, interesting guests on our show. We'll see you on the next episode, and until then, keep playing your guitar and have fun making music.